Dr. Dre, the top flag.
What time is it? Oh, you know what time it is. About to get cranked up, Rod. You ready? Here we go.
It's game time, America.
What?
Your time is up. My time is now. You
can't
man. See. My time is now. It's a fresh time when I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is
down.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is Tuesday, October the 2nd, 2012. It's already October. It's upon us. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And, of course, we are your hosts to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are ready to get this party started. And, as always, let me set the table on an explosive, fun-filled night of a lot of things and of course, a lot of fun things to talk about to you guys tonight. We're going to, of course, dive into the NFL Monday Night Football recap. We'll talk about that. Is Romo the guy? I don't know. We'll see how a lot of comments that we'll have about that. Another topic we've been talking about, is it Tebow time? I don't know. We'll have to dive into that as well. Baseball playoffs are right around the corner. We're going to talk about that. NFL training, NBA training camps open up, actually. We're going to talk about the Heisman watch. Big, big college football predictions for the weekend and our fantasy shout-outs. And, man, it's always excited to be here. Robert Ford, how you doing, sir?
Man, doing great. What about you? Ready to get this party started? Got a workout in. I'm feeling good, brother.
No, he's feeling good. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, for those that want to call into the show, as always, and we thank everyone for listening, the number to call in, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. Don't forget to tweet us and like us. We have a Facebook, 12th Man Sports, and also we're on Twitter at the number 12. TH Man Sports as well. But without further ado, Rob, we have a lot of topics to discuss. Let's jump right in. And obviously, before we get started, I want to just say a special prayer goes out to Chuck Pagano. Obviously, he was diagnosed with leukemia earlier this week, so let's just obviously send a prayer out to him and his family as well. So I know it's pretty shocking news that just happened this weekend here.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I guess let's get some quick started here. Let's talk about Monday night's game and Tony Romo. Man, five interceptions. And the question that we had is, can Romo lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl? So we're going to hit it pretty hard here. And my question is, my comment is, I don't think he's the guy. He kind of reminds me of Jay Cutler. Obviously, these guys do pretty well during the regular season. And until that he answers those questions, I don't think he's the guy. So, obviously, I'm curious to hear your thoughts if he's the guy for the Cowboys.
Well, obviously, the Cowboys don't have a better option at this point. But can he lead the Cowboys to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. He's just too erratic. You know, he's going to have one good game here and there, and he's going to come back with a bad game. I mean, he threw some nice passes to Lance Briggs and Charles Tillman last night. You would have thought they were the receivers for the Cowboys. I mean, those are perfect passes to Lance Briggs and Charles Tillman. And he ran both of those guys, ran them in for touchdowns, I tell you. But I tell you, yeah, he's just too erratic, and he's just not the kind of leader you would want as a quarterback. Like I said, he's just too erratic. He's just going to have one game here and there, and he's going to come out and throw for five touchdowns in the next week. As you saw last night, he threw for five interceptions. So he's not that kind of quarterback. Will he take you to the playoffs a year here and there? Absolutely. But he's just not the kind of quarterback that's going to lead a team to a Super Bowl. He just makes too many bonehead mistakes. And in order for him to take a team to the Super Bowl, he's going to have to be with a team with an absolute elite defense, kind of like Trent Dilfer manages the game well and led the Ravens to a Super Bowl victory, or Brad Johnson in 2002, a guy who just, played simple, hand off the football, relied on a great defense. That's the only way Romo will lead a team to the Super Bowl, but he's just not that kind of quarterback. He's going to want to sling it around, and he's going to throw interceptions. That's just the bottom line. He's not the answer to lead a team to a Super Bowl championship.
You think this is because he's trying to make plays, or you think it's just, you know, kind of similar to what Brett Favre's problem was? And I love the post. If you guys get a chance to follow us on Facebook, I love the quote about somebody posted, if we still had the replacement refs, those five interceptions would have been five touchdowns. But that's hilarious, too. But like you said, I mean, you think it's because he's trying to make plays, or you think he's kind of pressing, or what do you think the deal is? Because, I mean, like you said, I mean, until – you know, they kind of get past this, and he has to prove a lot of people wrong. You know, like you said, I don't know if it's just he's just kind of pressing or trying to make a bad decision, or what do you think about this?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, some guys just have it, and Tony Romo just don't have it, if you know what I'm saying. You know, some guys just have it. They're just born winners. They're born leaders, and Tony Romo does not have it.
He just doesn't have it. Gotcha. I was just saying thank you for calling me a born winner, man. I appreciate that too, man. we'll go on.
He just don't have it.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, obviously we'll see how that plays out. To all of our Cowboys fans, we're sorry. You know, we just kind of call it as it is. And until he proves us wrong, I mean, like I said, Cowboys don't have another option right now, and I think eventually we're going to have to, you know, see how everything changes in the future, too. But
those of you all that are listening in the Dallas area, stay tuned. We're going to show your baseball team some love on this show, but we can't show the Cowboys any love right now.
Love it. Yeah, we try to bring some balance to the force. We're still going to stay on quarterbacks here, and obviously they kind of make the team run. Let's talk about another brewing quarterback controversy, and that is with Mark Sanchez and Mr. Tim Tebow. You can't get enough of Tebow. It's Tebow time, in the words of Skip Bayless. But, you know, obviously there's some problems, and I think we called this whenever we first started the show about the whole decision to even bring Tebow in. And like I said, I think it's definitely coming back to actually affect Mark Sanchez, in addition to reporters calling him by the wrong name, in addition to, you know, Tebow kind of being that publicity stunt, in the words of Joe Namath. I don't think it's a good situation for New York at all. And obviously you had chemistry issues before with Santonio Holmes, with other things going on in the locker room, and now you're bringing another problem into the locker room. So I'm going to ask you, do you think it's Tebow time? And also, do you think that it's a problem for Rex Ryan possibly being the coach of this team?
Well, those are all good points, and, you know, I brought it up on the show as soon as the trade happened that this was not going to be a good deal for Mark Sanchez. And Tebow just has such a big name. He's almost like a Hollywood figure. And I think it just becomes such a huge distraction for a guy who you thought was your franchise quarterback in Mark Sanchez. So you bring in a guy who's more popular than who's supposedly your franchise quarterback, and I just think that's been a huge distraction to this organization. And I don't think Tebow is a Super Bowl champion. I just don't believe that he's that kind of quarterback either. I mean, he's a great guy, and don't get me wrong. And, I like his beliefs and things of that nature. But he's not a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. And I just think this whole process has just hurt the development of Mark Sanchez. And I think what's going to happen with Mark Sanchez, I'll give you an example. I don't know if you recall, Rich Gannon was the kind of quarterback who got off to a slow start, but he finished his career strong, maybe in his late 20s, all the way up into his mid-30s. He had some solid years, some Pro Bowl years. And I think once Mark Sanchez gets with a winning offensive coordinator that can really take advantage of his skill level, I think you'll see him start to succeed. It won't be in a New York Jet uniform. Down the road, he's going to get traded, or he's going to sign somewhere and be with a free agent. Or who knows, you know, he might get with a coach like a Sean Payton. Maybe down the road takes Drew Brees' place. Who knows? But
uh-oh.
I think that kind of, you know, with that kind of head coach or with that kind of offensive coordinator, he's going to mature and grow and be a better quarterback. I just don't think it's going to happen with the Jets. There's just so much chaos there. Rex Ryan, he's running a big circus up there in New York. Got a bunch of elephants and clowns and things of that nature up there right now. And so that's what's happening with the New York Jets right now. And, you know, they probably will give Tebow a shot, but it's just such a bad organization right now what's taking place up there.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you. It's kind of unfortunate. So I know I have a lot of friends that are Jets fans. They're diehards. And you know, they have a very storied franchise history. And just to see the things that are kind of in disarray. And I'm sure whenever they first got Rex Ryan, they were excited because he brought that swag, that bravado that they needed, and, you know, kind of put the legal notice. And then all of a sudden now it's like, you know what, it's getting kind of old. And, you know, like you said, just kind of the things that are going on right now, just kind of the disarray in the locker room. Doesn't help whenever you guys lose, you know, Terrell Revis. And, you know, just kind of it's going to be a tough season for the Jets. And you know, like I said, I'm not sure if the move is good now. But like you said, if, you know, give Sanchez another time to kind of make some things happen. If it doesn't, you know, if you have nothing left for the season, you might as well go ahead and make some moves and see what happens in the future. So that's kind of my my two cents on that. And obviously you heard Robert's two cents on that as well. For those who want to call in, share your thoughts, tweet us, the number to call into the show. As always, it is 424-243-9519. Are we crazy? Are we on point? You know, we'd love to hear your thoughts as we keep moving along. And we're going to
absolutely
kind of
give us a shout out here.
Yeah, and obviously you can hit us up on Twitter as well, at 12th Man Sports as well. Let's talk about some other things, sir. J.J. Watt, he's getting a lot of press right now as being the best defensive player in football. And I'd like to hear your thoughts of this guy that's he's kind of taking the place. And Houston kind of looks like geniuses after not retaining Mario Williams. And, you know, I don't know if that's the way the system kind of fits J.J. Watt or what, but this guy is definitely turning it up right now.
Well, I think what you have with the Houston Texans, when Wade Phillips took over, as you know, as Wade Phillips was once the defensive coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons, you know, he loves the 3-4 defense. And Mario Williams is not an outside rush linebacker in the 3-4 defense. I mean, he's a prototype 4-3 defensive end. And maybe he could be a defensive end in the 3-4, but he's not an outside linebacker rush, pass rusher in the 3-4 defense. And so Wade Phillips knew that, and so he wasn't really the perfect fit for his defense. But I'll tell you what, they may have gotten a steal with this J.J. Watt kid. This guy is almost unblockable. And is he the best defensive player in the NFL? It might be hard to say, but I just can't think of anybody that's better right now. Maybe a Clay Matthews, but I don't think Clay Matthews is – I maybe think he's a slight notch or two behind the J.J. Watt. Ray Lewis is not the same player that he once was. Darrell Revis is injured right now, so you can really make a strong case. I've been watching a lot of football here early in the season, and I haven't seen a better defensive player so far than J.J. Watt. This guy's unblockable. I saw a good bit of the game against the Titans this past weekend. I mean, he was just killing Jake Locker and Matt Hasselbeck, and I would have to say yes, he is at this moment.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, like I said, I know Houston is playing well. It's a pretty safe pick for them to be right now the favorites to obviously represent the AFC. You know, we still got a long season to go, but we'll see how that plays out too. But for those that, once again, we're switching gears here, and I just wanted to throw a quick little note for those that are listening via their iPhones or anything that has devices too. Definitely feel free to check us out. Go to our Facebook page and click on the Listen Live link. That's how you guys can actually listen to the show on your iPhone. So we're actually showing you a lot of love. So, Rob, let's kind of – is it okay to kind of talk about some fantasy shout-outs? Do you have some time to do that right now? You want to switch to that or
– Oh, yeah, real quick here, you know, we appreciate those of you are participating in the 12-man sports fantasy football league. Got some quick shout-outs here. Big Cheese has taken over the overall first place in our fantasy football league. So big shout out to him and the 3-1 record. And another big shout out to Gentilly Hot Sausage, my buddy Corey Angeletti from St. Aug. He had the biggest fantasy football week victory. I want to say he won something like 190 to 70 something. I can't recall the exact score, but Gentilly Hot Sausage is going to make me want to go get a Hot Sausage Four Boy sandwich this weekend at the Gentilly Festival.
Real quick, Rob, can I say something about Gentilly? He actually played against me, man, so that was a pretty bad showing by my part. But
but since you brought it up.
It was rough. It was a rough game. But, you know, like I said, you know, some guys didn't perform like I expected, you know. I'm not going to call any names or anything like that. You know, Mark Sanchez, you know. No, I'm just joking. It's all good.
But yeah, congrats to that. And of course, we're down to three in the Survival League. And of course, you're one of the remaining three. And of course, the Shark, Manny down in Houston, and Christina Hart. And so the three of you are the last three remaining to be the Survival Football Champion here going into week five. And of course, our college pick'em lead, I've actually passed my co-host Andre. I moved to a four-point lead, so I've moved up into first place in the college pick'em, and I plan to stay there, brother.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure that you're first in that, man?
I'm positive, man. Go check the stats. Go check the stats.
Look at that. Because I'm number two. Hold on. Let me check this out right now. I thought Doc Rat was number one. Is that you? Who are you?
MJ1 Kobe number 24. That's me.
Okay. That's awesome.
Sorry, Roger.
We just keep messing with Rod as well. Okay, all right. Okay, we'll check this out, man. I know I'm in second place too, so you know.
Yeah.
I'm only off by one. That's you. Okay, I'm only off by. Oh man.
Yeah. So I moved into a 4-point lead in the first place. I plan to stay there, my brother. But we'll be competing throughout the rest of the season. But that's some quick shout outs. We appreciate y'all playing. Stay tuned for fantasy basketball. I'll be having some information, hopefully by next week on that we can talk about on the show. And we'll be posting it on our Facebook and Twitter page. We'll probably have that draft sometime toward the end of this month for those of you all interested in fantasy basketball as well. But that's enough for fantasy news. Let's move on to our next topic. I think we got just a little bit of Major League Baseball talk here. We're going to throw in here as we're getting ready. This is the last week of the regular season as we move into the baseball playoffs on next week.
Yeah, sounds good. We got a lot of good topics for this, and you know, obviously, a good friend of mine is a big Washington Nationals fan. So you know, we'll see how that plays out. And they actually wrap up the NL East. Braves are kind of losing here. We lost the last couple games here, and the question that we pose is how far will the Nationals go into the playoffs? And right now, they look pretty strong. And also, I guess we were making fun of them as far as resting Steven Strasburg, but they rested him, and right now. I would say that they're going to go pretty much in the finals, but hopefully the Braves will turn it around as well, too. But they have a good shot with a lot of that young pitching and just kind of having some good luck in their hands, too. So we'll see. They're definitely a good team to beat, you know?
Yeah, the Washington Nationals, they're going to be a real interesting team to watch here come playoff time. And I think one of the questions that we have for each other is how far do we foresee this team advancing here. And I actually think with their pitching staff, they're going to be the team to beat in the National League. I see them winning the National League. Watch out for the Reds, though. They're playing pretty good baseball right now, as well as my San Francisco Giants. But I still think this National team is going to make it all the way to the World Series. But I think they're going to lose once they get to the World Series. So stay tuned for who I think will win it all here in baseball. Maybe our next topic here will reveal that.
I think I have a feeling about this one, too. let's talk about it. I guess on the AL side, on the American League side, obviously, we got a good question about the Yankees. They've been doing their thing. And they've been in a pretty tight contest with the Baltimore Orioles. Shout out to my Orioles fans out there, too. I got a lot of friends. To my boy, Sean Jones, showing you some love. And, so the Yankees, they have a lot of the experience. They're getting a little older. But how much light do they have? And obviously, Robert being a Yankees fan, you know, what are your thoughts? Do you think that the Yankees are going to be representing the AL in the World Series?
Well, of course, I'm a Yankees fan. And as I mentioned, I'm a San Francisco Giant fan in the National League. But I don't think the Giants are going to make it out of the NL. And I don't think the Yankees are going to make it out of the AL either. I think the Yankees will make it to the American League Championship Series, and they're going to lose to the Texas Rangers. And I think the Texas Rangers are going to win it all. My homeboy, Ron Washington, New Orleans native, managing that team in Texas, I think he's going to bring that Dallas area. I saw Dallas. I was going to show y'all some love before the show is over. You're not going to win the Super Bowl, but I believe y'all going to have a World Series there in the Dallas metropolitan area. Texas Rangers, I think, would defeat the Washington Nationals in the World Series. So stay tuned. Of course, there's games to be played in that. But I don't think the Yankees have the pitching and the depth as far as the lineup to compete the Rangers just yet. And I think they're the team to beat, and I think they're going to win it all.
Gotcha. Hey, Rob, we may have to get you to switch lines in a quick second, too, because it is kind of coming in and out of you. But I just want to give you a heads up. As you may want to do that, I'm going to give out the numbers and all that fun stuff for those who want to call in on the show, for those who want to call in the show and kind of give your thoughts. I mean, as mentioned, are we crazy? Is Rob crazy? All my Dallas folks, I know we're kind of giving you guys a hard time with the Cowboys, but you guys have really, really, really nice stadium, too. But those who want to call in, the number is 424-243-9519. It's always a pleasure to hit us up via Twitter, all that fun stuff on Facebook. Show us your thoughts and your love and stuff like that. As we get ready to switch gears and talk about the NBA, it's actually right around the corner. Some training camps have actually opened. And so let's talk about this. We got a lot of good topics from this standpoint, too. Something about Kobe, he makes it clear that the Lakers are still his team, and the question is, how far will the Lakers go go this season? And I'm sure folks like Roderick are going to say all the way to the championship because they got Dwight Howard. And I'm kind of
DeJuan
on the
Howard is his new name. DeJuan Howard.
Dwight Mayer, all the fun. So we had fun with him this summer. I still kind of think that I can see them going to the Western Conference Finals versus an OKC. And I still kind of think that OKC is still the team to beat. And we talk about this, obviously, over the summer, whenever we had a lot of the finals going on. And you talk about how certain teams grow. And sometimes whenever you lose, it kind of motivates you. It makes you better. It makes you go work harder. Some things that you get exposed and having, too. So, you know, I think Kevin Durant is focused. James Harden's going to play a little bit better. Obviously, Russell Westbrook's doing his thing. And I still think that the Thunder are the team to beat out in the West. So that's kind of my thought process on this. What about you, Rob?
Well, I will just say this. I hope you're right. There's no doubt about that. I really do hope you're right. But unfortunately, I think the Lakers are going to surpass the Thunder this season. I'm not sure how many more seasons they're going to be able to do that. But I think just getting Dwight Howard as well as I think adding a guy like Antoine Jameson to their bench and adding a point guard like a Steve Nash, I just think overall they just seem to be that they're going to be able to overtake Oklahoma City. And as much as I hate to say this as well, I think the Lakers could very well win the whole thing this season too.
Wow.
And I would, you know, I don't want them to. America, I'm not a Lakers fan, never have been, not a Kobe fan, never have been. And but I just have to say, looking at it on paper here, that it looks like they're the team to beat, especially if they have a healthy Dwight Howard. And, you know, Steve Nash is getting up in age, but the guy he's a playmaker. I think Nash will be a liability on defense, but you have an eraser back there behind him in Dwight Howard. So I think he can help offset some of Steve Nash's defensive liabilities. And I hate to say it, but I think the Lakers are the team to beat, and I think they'll win the NBA title this season.
Today is October the 2nd. The time is 11:23 Eastern. Robert has said that the Lakers will win it all. We'll see if this comes true. I've actually wrote this down, too. So
I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about the Yankees not winning it all either. But, you know, I just call it like I see it.
I got you. Another good point, we have the Bulls reward Tom Thibodeau with a 4-year extension. We had a question, is this a good move or a bad move? I'm going to start off and saying I think this is a great move. Obviously, Thibodeau's one of the best young coaches, and he actually has been doing this without having a healthy Derrick Rose and a healthy Rip Hamilton to be able to play at the same time. So for them to do as well as they did, I know they kind of stumbled a little bit this season, but he was actually had a fantastic job of coaching that team and getting them in position to kind of do still have a lot of winning games and whatnot. So, you know, I think it's a great move on the Chicago Bulls part. What about you?
Absolutely. I think Tom Thibodeau is one of the best in the business. Every year, I don't think his roster is to where he wants it to be just yet. But the last 2 years, that's been the number one team in the Eastern Conference as far as regular season is concerned. You know, he maybe needs another superstar in order for them to excel in the playoffs, or maybe even two more superstars for them to excel in the playoffs. And but yeah, outstanding job. Probably one of the best defensive minds in all of the game. It's going to be hard pressed to find a better coach than that. So I think the Chicago Bulls absolutely did the right thing. I mean, last year Derrick Rose missed about 20 something games, and they still were the number one seed in the East. That's pretty incredible when you look at their roster. And obviously, but you need big time players to win in the playoffs. And that's what, other than Derrick Rose, and of course he got hurt last year in the playoffs, they don't have any big-time players to step up in big games. And that's what they're missing on their roster. But as far as coaching ability, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody better than Tom Thibodeau.
Gosh, we've got about 4 minutes left in the show. We want to thank everyone that is listening to us. And we'll obviously continue to like us. And Rob does a great job of updating the Facebook page. We have a lot of things going on, so definitely follow us as well. Tell us your thoughts as we get ready to wrap up and get ready for the OT portion of the show. I just want to say real quick, you definitely got to give me some credit last week. I know I'm kind of switching back to the NFL because Andre Peterson here actually picked the Philadelphia Eagles to win the game versus the Giants. Never, everyone was going against that, so I just wanted to toot my own horn there. So, you know, that's what it's all about, Rob.
Hey, you got to toot your own horn on the worldwide radio, man. What's up with that? Nobody asked you to toot your own horn, man.
Oh, here we go, here we go. I'm having some good luck, man. It's all good, it's all good.
But obviously that was certainly a good call. I actually picked the Giants to win that game, so I guess he's making me look bad to toot his own horn here, but it's all good. I got one coming for you.
I know. It's all good. Let's talk about the Heisman, sir. The Heisman watch, and I don't know where you were, but, you know, this has been an incredible game, and I'm going to talk about one guy. We all know who it is, the 6'4", 220-pound senior quarterback from West Virginia, Geno Smith. The guy was 45 of 51 with 656 yards, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Wow.
And those are video game numbers.
It is video game numbers. So Heisman watch, I mean, very similar to Robert Griffin III. If he keeps on this pace, he's got a big game versus Texas, but, I mean, what an amazing performance, Rob. I kind of want you to hear your comments on Geno Smith's performance.
Right now, I know it's still early in the season, but he is definitely distancing himself ahead of everyone else in this Heisman race. He is the clear-cut favorite. You can look at a guy like E.J. Manuel as a distant second right now. You might control Marcus Lattimore as a distant third somewhere in there. But I like Geno Smith. This kid is, in my opinion, this is my opinion, a lot of draft experts, maybe a few, have put him ahead of Matt Barkley. But based on what I'm seeing with my two eyes or four eyes, whatever you want to call me, he looks like the clear-cut Heisman winner as well as, in my opinion, the number one quarterback in the NFL draft. And this guy is a pocket passer, and I personally believe he looks like a pure pocket passer, even more so than RG3. I mean, this guy, and he runs when he has to, but he is a pure pocket passer. It looks incredible. I'm real interested to see how he plays against Texas. I think this could be one of his first big tests as far as going up against some NFL-caliber defensive players in Okafor and those kind of players on that defensive line for Texas. So this should be real interesting. But I look for him to have another big day. And I know we got some predictions coming up. You're probably going to have to catch us in our OT portion to listen to our big college football game predictions. So once again, if you're eating lunch at your desk tomorrow, tune in, click on the link. You can listen to our OT portion on tomorrow. Listen to our college football predictions. It's going to help you out if you place some bets and things of that nature. So stay tuned. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And for our good friends in Hawaii, that will be 5 p.m. Aloha. So
aloha.
We'd like for you all to join us next week. Of course, it'll be more football. Maybe we'll dibble and dab into baseball playoffs and dibble and dab into a little bit of NBA training camp. So make sure you all join us on next Tuesday. Like us on Facebook and follow us at 12 Man Sports on Twitter. Wish you all a great night.
Yes, sir. And Robert, we thank you as well, too. Like I said, we got a lot of fun things to talk about in the OT portion of the show. And I'm curious to hear Robert's thought processes. And we talked about the Geno Smith and his position as far as the draft. We're going to touch base about that. And as mentioned, like I said, we're here every Tuesdays. We're going to switch to Tuesdays so we can be fresh right after Monday Night Football. Get those thoughts in. We appreciate everyone listening and playing fantasy, all that fun stuff. A lot of love. Hope to catch you guys next week. Same time, same channel on Blog Talk Radio. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Good night, people.
I'm working on this little outro. Woo! I'm working on this little outro, Rob. We'll get it going, too. But like you said, as you listen to your desk.
You're the DJ, man.
I know. I'll get it going next week. I promise. We'll get it up and running, too. But we are now officially in the OT portion of the show. And I think you made a good comment as far as Geno Smith and his progress as far as being a pocket passer. And I think a very interesting stat that we were talking about is that he's actually at an 88.2% completion rate. And I think Robert Griffin III last year was right at about 77.5%, and I'll verify that too. But just kind of letting you know that, as you mentioned, a lot of scouts are very, very impressed with his awareness as far as him just literally just – I know – it's kind of tough because Baylor didn't have the best defense, but he was able to pick them apart and make a lot of NFL-caliber throws and just literally being able to scan the field. So, obviously I think that's a great assessment as far as him possibly overtaking Matt Barkley as the number one quarterback and possibly number one pick in the draft, too. So, it's very, very interesting to see how he progresses this Saturday versus Texas as his first real test.
Yes, I'm really interested to see this ball game. One of the college games that I'm looking forward to the most on this coming weekend. Of course, we have some other big games that we're going to dibble and dab and talk about here shortly. Geno Smith, incredible performance this past weekend. And it seems to be able to make all the throws. There's still some scouts that still has Barkley ready ahead of him. But I think they're just waiting to see what Geno Smith does against some better competition. And so I think we will be seeing that here in the coming weeks as they get into better competition here in the Big 12 Conference.
Gotcha. Well, let's jump into some games here. And first and foremost, let's talk about your team, Robert Ford, Mr. LSU here. The number 4 LSU is a 2.5 favorite versus number 10 Florida at Florida. And somebody made a comment that the way that Zach Mettenberger's playing, Florida could be the favorite. And kind of tell us your thoughts. I mean, this was a tough game. I mean, do you think that LSU can actually pull it out at the Swamp?
Well, I'll tell you what here. I've been picking against my own teams in this show. I've been picking against the San Francisco Giants, picking against the Yankees. And I hate to say it, but I got to pick against the LSU Tigers here. And there's another one of these cases where I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about the Lakers winning the title. I hope I'm wrong about LSU losing this weekend. But based on what I'm seeing with my own eyes here, I've not been pleased with LSU's play the last couple of weeks. And if they keep playing like that, I just don't see them going to the Swamp down in Florida. I'm picking Florida to win this game.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to agree with you just because, it's kind of a tough environment for LSU, and hopefully – Zach can kind of put things together too, but it's just, I don't know, the way they play against a very, I think, inferior Auburn team, it's definitely going to be a test for them. But like Robert said, we hope we're wrong, but we'll see how that plays out too. Let's talk about the next big game, sir. Number 5, Georgia versus number 6, South Carolina. This is a big one. South Carolina is favored by 2. And this is another one of those tough games, too, because Georgia's going into hostile territory. Their freshman tailbacks are playing extremely well. Todd Gurley, Kevin Marshall, what are they called? What's their little nickname that they got them going over there? You know what I'm talking about, Rob? You heard their little nickname. I'm not going to say that, too, because everyone doesn't like that here in Georgia. But this is Gershel, is that what it is?
Yeah.
But this could be a pick'em game. David Clowney is kind of like doing his thing. Steve Spurrier always wants to stick it to Georgia. I'm going to defer to you, sir, and what do you think is going to happen in this particular game?
Well, I tell you what, going into this past weekend, I thought Georgia was looking really strong and looking like a real contender. And, I thought they were the clear-cut favorite to win the SEC East. My feelings have slightly changed after this past weekend, and I look at a Georgia team that is very talented, But they seem to kind of be in the LSU mode a little bit. LSU is another team that's super talented and probably has more talent than Florida, but it's just bonehead stuff. It's going to cost them this week against Florida. And I think the same thing is going to happen with the Georgia Bulldogs. I think Georgia is the more talented team than South Carolina, but Georgia makes bonehead mistakes. And defensively, and I mean, they have the offensive weapons, and they have more talent than South Carolina. I just think South Carolina is a better coach. The old ball coach is going to have his guys ready. And for my people in Atlanta, you know, I know I'm probably going to get some grief on this one, but I have to say that South Carolina is going to win this game. They're at home. They're better coached. And I just think they're going to pull this one out. Georgia just makes too many dumb, boneheaded mistakes, similar to my LSU Tigers.
This is tough for me, too, because you hope that the tailbacks are not the moment's not too big for them. I know they've been playing well. This is their first big test. They have Florida right afterwards. I know Tennessee was a big test for them, too, but this is kind of a unique situation, too. I think that South Carolina's going to do everything in their power to shut down the freshman tailbacks and make Aaron Murray beat them. And I'm not saying Aaron Murray can't do it, but I just think it's going to be very, very tough. So, you know, I'm going to lean towards South Carolina, too, as much as I want, you know, as much as I can, you know, being here in Georgia, kind of going for them, but it's going to be tough for them to pull that one out. So we're both picking South Carolina in this particular instance.
We're on the same page so far.
So far, I think we're going to keep going, too. Let's talk about the aforementioned Geno Smith and his number 8 Virginia going to number 11 Texas. Texas is surprisingly a 6.5 favorite in this game, almost a touchdown. I'm kind of leaning towards West Virginia in this particular game. You know, obviously Texas has a lot of weapons too, but this is a big test for Geno. I hope he pulls it out. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I think my heart is pulling for West Virginia here, and you know, but I just think this game is going to come down to who's going to play a little bit more defense than the other team, and I just think Texas is going to play a little bit more defense than West Virginia. And we got to realize here, Texas also has a great quarterback, David Ash, who's been playing phenomenally well, and I just think this game is going to kind of maybe not be as big a shootout as West Virginia Baylor, but it's going to be another shootout. But I think Texas defense can make a few more plays than West Virginia's, a lot more plays, obviously, than West Virginia's defense. And Texas being at home here, I just think Texas is going to pull them out. They have better personnel than West Virginia, although I do think West Virginia has the better quarterback. But from top to bottom, Texas just has better personnel. And I just think their defense is going to make a few more plays than West Virginia's defense. And plus, you got to give them the home field advantage as well. I like Texas in this one.
Well, our first disagreement, like I said, I think Geno Smith's going to put West Virginia on his back and carry him all the way to the promised land. Woo!
Well, this is another one of those games that, you know, I hope I'm wrong.
Gotcha. I was on the other one for earlier. Let's talk about another big matchup. Number 21, Nebraska at number 12, Ohio State. Ohio State is a 3.5-point favorite in this particular contest. I'm going to start off with you, sir, let you kind of get your thoughts in first, because I know I'm going one way particularly. I know you're a big Will Pelini fan, being a guy native from New Orleans. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, you know, I hate that we got to waste our breath on talking about Big Ten football. But I guess, you know, since most of these teams are in the top 25 here, you know, we have to talk about it here. But I tell you, I'd rather watch paint dry than watch Big Ten football. This is some horrible stuff that's happening in Big Ten right now. I mean, boring football. But, you know, I have to go with Urban Meyer and Ohio State in this ball game. They're at home. And they seem to be playing the best ball in the Big Ten right now, even though it's not that great. But they seem to be playing just slightly better than everybody else in the conference. And unfortunately, they're not eligible for a bowl this season, so they won't even get to see their best team playing in the Rose Bowl. And definitely not. We definitely don't even want to see them come close to the national championship game. But, you know, I still like Ohio State to pull this one out over my Cornhuskers.
Braxton Miller, yes. I think it just comes down to better coaching in this particular instance, Urban Meyer's doing his thing. And, yeah, I think Ohio State's going to pull this one out as well without any problems. Another big matchup. We got number 23, Washington, at number 2, Oregon. This is pretty interesting on the lines, Rob. Oregon is a 24-point favorite. I had to actually read that. I had to check to make sure I was reading that right over Washington. You know, what do you think? I think DeAnthony Thomas, yeah, I think that's pretty good. They're going to go nuts. And they're definitely too fast-paced unless Steve Sarkisian, what's his name, Sarkisian, whatever his name is. Sarkisian, yeah, figure out a way to slow down this explosive Oregon offense. So what are your thoughts on this? As I kind of butcher the coach's name, I apologize to my guys out there.
Well, I think Oregon is clearly the better team in this matchup, and it could get ugly. And but I like Oregon in this game. There's no doubt about it. But I will say this about Oregon. I think once you see them go against a team with an elite defense, Oregon is very suspect at the wide receiver position. So I think once they face a team with an elite defense and can stop their running game, and I think you're going to see them, you know, I think these an elite defense will overmatch them and force Oregon to try to throw the ball, and Oregon just don't have the wide receivers. It's not going to happen this week. I think Oregon is much better than Washington, and they'll win at home. But I don't think Oregon is good enough to beat a team like USC, even though they're ranked ahead of USC. I don't think Oregon is good enough to beat a team like Alabama, LSU, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, none of those teams in the SEC. I think they will be able to stop their running game and force Oregon to throw the ball. And Oregon is very weak at the wide receiver position. We just haven't been able to, you know, nobody's just been able to shut that down just yet. But a team like that would. But they will beat Washington, no doubt.
Yeah, like I said, I had to look twice to make sure I was reading that right. It was a 24-point favorite, too. So, you know, that's how everything plays out, too. But, like I said, those are a lot of the big games that we have highlighted for this particular weekend. You know, obviously, as we talked about during the show, during the live portion of our show, we definitely want you to kind of give us your thoughts and your predictions as well. If you think we're kind of crazy or if we're out of base, is Robert going with his heart too much? Is he hoping he's wrong a lot this particular week? Yeah.
That seems like it.
Well, yeah, that's okay. I mean, like I said, I went with my heart. I mean, I'm kind of I'm going with my heart, too. So a lot of fun things here as well. We got about 3 minutes to wrap up the show. I'm going to open up a couple things, too, and not to bring up some bad things, too. But as a Saints fan, what's going on with the Saints here? 0-4, kind of a tough scenario here. What's your assessment of you guys? I mean, what's kind of going on with your boys there, sir?
Well, it's hard to really put your finger on it, but obviously it's not the kind of start that Saints fans would have liked. And I think we were somewhat encouraged this past week, and, you know, they blew some opportunities to win up at Lambeau Field. And it's hard to really pinpoint, but I think if you look at the first four games, it'll come down to this, not being able to stop the run and not being able to run the ball. And I think it's those two things in particular. You can't stop the run and you can't run the ball. And that's been the problem.
Sounds like you want winners.
I want winners. I'd rather play with 10 guys than have one guy that's not going to give 110%.
Oh, we love the little Mike Singletary quotes. You got to put them on the page as well, too. You
but
know,
I expect
that,
the Saints to win this Sunday night. So I think they'll get their first win against the Chargers this Sunday night.
Should be a good game
first.
For sure. Oh, I love it. Once again. And obviously, you look at the power rankings. I'm pretty excited to have the Falcons at number 2. You know, what can we say? We had a hard fought. We lucked out pulling out the victory versus the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton is officially 0-4 versus the Falcons so far at the Georgia Dome, I want to say. So,
0-3.
You know, definitely 0-3. I'm sorry. Thank you, sir. I was thinking I was counting for the next time as well. But that's okay.
you counted as a victory already.
I'm just joking. I won't be cocky at all. But no, you know, like I said, you know, we play a pretty tough Washington team at Washington and Robert Griffin III. But like I said, we'll see how things plays out. You know, Matt Ryan's making some throws. Great to see our guys pulling it out. This was kind of a tough game. This is one of those trap games. I was kind of nervous about this game too because Obviously, I knew the Panthers were going to be very, very motivated after a tough loss versus the Giants that we performed Thursday night. So we will see how everything plays out going into the season, too. So, you know, a lot of fun things going up, and we're excited about the progress. I know I am, so we'll see how the season definitely rolls out, too. So, Rob, we got a minute to go. You want to talk about the setup for next week and all the fun stuff that we have moving forward?
Just join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 Pacific, 5 for our friends in Hawaii. We look forward to talking more football, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of baseball. Join us next Wednesday night. You don't want to miss it. Good night, America.
Good night, America. Thank you for talking.